says in stanza 4, unchanging is the love of God, because He is our good God, our good Father who is in heaven, which we are going to look at in a moment. If you look at the scripture passage, if you have a pen, please cross it over. That's a huge mistake. And then you can write down right beside the Pastor Lee makes mistakes from time to time. But we are going to do lots of reading, trust me. And it's going to be connected. It's going to be connected to the passage, which is Lord's Day 46. But I'd like to invite you to Matthew 7 first. It's a well-known passage. I'm going to read from Matthew 7, verse 7 to 12. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. We're going to jump to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 8. A little parable. It's called Parable of the Persistent Widow. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, that she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" So far, reading of the Holy Word of God. And we're going to go to the back of Psalter Hymnal and look for Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 46. That is in page 42. I'm going to read the questions and you can read the answers together. Why has Christ commanded us to address God thus, "Our Father"? Why is there added, "Who art in heaven"?
That we may have no earthly thought, but heavenly majesty of God, and may
beloved assembly of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord's Day 45 teaches us that prayer is the chief part of our thankfulness, which God requires of us. And Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. That means God requires us to pray all the time. Then Lord's Day 45 teaches us to pray with confidence. The last part of the answer, 117, says, He will, for the sake of Christ, certainly hear our prayer as He has promised us in His Word. Notice the sense of certainty in Lord's Day 45. Lord's Day 45 does not simply say, well, maybe He could hear our prayer, or He might hear our prayer, but it says He will certainly hear our prayer. However, when we pray, do we 100% believe that God will hear our prayers? When we ask God, do we ask in confidence or do we have some hesitancy from time to time? Well, let me give you an example. In Matthew, in one of the passages, there were two men. One was a leper, the other was a centurion, a Gentile. First, the leper came to Jesus and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. As you can see, he said, if you are willing. Well, the leper was not 100% sure. And then right after the story of the leper, there comes the story of the centurion. And the centurion came to him, came and pleading with him, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And then Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. What the centurion said was remarkable. He said, my servant will be healed. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said, surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Well, compare that story in Matthew chapter 8 with our attitude when we ask. Which case do you think applies to you? Do we pray with firm faith like that centurion did? Or do we pray without confidence? The theme of the sermon is this. Christ wants us to address God as our Father, God as our Father in heaven. But first, we are going to look at why did He commanded us to address Him as a Father? And second, why our Father? Third, why our Father in heaven? Well, in the previous Lord's Day 45, it says, we be firmly assured that He will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayers. How does the Catechism know that? I mean, how do we know that our prayers will be heard, certainly? Well, the answer lies in the Lord's Prayer when Jesus taught us to address Him as our Father. Our Father in heaven. You see, here's the secret recipe of confidence. Your confidence does not depend on yourself, but your confidence depends who you are talking to. It depends on how you understand who God is. I found that there are three views on God that people generally have. Three views. That is, first view is God is creator of universe. He is, but he doesn't care after he created the world. We covered this in our Belgian Confession class last year, which means he created the world, but he let the world to be governed by natural law. This belief is called deism. So according to deism, God created, but he doesn't intervene with the universe. They believe in creation, but not in providence. So some others call this theory, it has a name for that, has a theory called a blind watchmaker. According to this blind watchmaker theory, God is the blind watchmaker who made the watch, the world, just like watch, and then let the world run automatically. But the watchmaker, the blind man, he doesn't care. He doesn't intervene. So that's first view. And second view is God is a dictator. God is cold-blooded, a supreme leader who likes to play with the people just like playing with toys. Well, in this case, he intervenes, but without sympathy. Some people ask questions like, how can a good God, how can a benevolent God send some for eternal damnation while he sends some to heaven? Or they also say, look at the world, how cruel it is. Terrorism, genocide, crimes. How could all these things happen unless God is cold-hearted dictator? So that's the second view. God is the dictator. And the last view is to see God as our Father in heaven. So it all depends which view the person has. If the person believes that God is a blind watchmaker, then there's no need to pray. Think about it. Because God doesn't care anyway. If the person believes that God is hard, cold dictator, and there's no need to pray fervently because he's not going to listen anyway. Perhaps this illustration can help you to understand this better. There was a girl who was left with foster parents. She arrives at the new place and she met her new parents. But she was not really sure about the new parents. Everything was very strange and new. But her father approached to her, throwing some jokes to break the ice. After a few weeks of breaking the ice, she realized that her new parents were not that bad as she thought. Even the cranky, stubborn new mother, she was not as bad as she thought. Once she found out that her new mom had a soft spot in her heart. And when she realized that they genuinely wanted to help her, she opened her heart. She began to speak more frequently to them. She started to share even her secrets. And she asked whatever that she needed. You see the difference? The first she came, she didn't open her heart, but as she understood who her new parents were, she opened her heart. She spoke more frequently. Again, the point is, your confidence depends on how you consider that person. If you consider him as a dictator, then it would be very hard to approach. If you think him as a blind watchmaker who never intervenes, there's no point of talking to him. There's no guarantee that he will hear our prayers. But here's the point. If he is our Father in heaven, then it would make a huge difference. But first, let's not speculate, but let us look at what Bible says about God. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible teach us about God himself. Well, let's start with the passage that we just read. Jesus said in Matthew 7:11, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him." Father who is in heaven. Now we have a very clear answer. Jesus himself told us, Father who is in heaven. Again, how you understand God is such a crucial matter. That's why Heidelberg Catechism spends so much time, a couple of Lord's days, confessing that God is our Father. For instance, Lord's Day 9. That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is, for the sake of Christ, his Son, my God, my Father. He will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul. He is able to do it, being Almighty God and willing also, being a faithful Father. Lord's Day 9. Well, you can see the language of the Catechism came directly from Matthew 7. And you can see from Matthew 7 and all the passages in the Bible, our God certainly wants us to treat him as a father, not as a dictator. Well, is that the case when it comes to how you treat your children? Let's say your son needs something urgent. He comes to you, and the first thing that he does is kneel down on his knees and bowing down 3 times to you. He puts his head between his knees and folding his hands above his head, saying, "Dear Supreme Leader, I was fixing my bike and realized I'm missing something. Sir, I think I need screwdrivers. I need 4.8 millimeters, 6.4. And he continues with a trembling voice. He doesn't even make eye contact. And you can see right away, his heart is filled with uncertainty. He says, "If you are willing and able, please let your servant find mercy in your eyes so that I may borrow your electric screwdriver as well. I promise you, I will use them clean. I'll make sure I polish every corner of your screwdriver before I return it to you." Now, reality, you know, this is ridiculous. Your sons wouldn't say that way, because that just doesn't happen. And that shouldn't happen. Well, I don't want my son to ask me that way, bowing down 3 times whenever he needs something. He just comes and says, "Dada." That's all he needs to say. Well, why? Because I am already willing to help him out. Because he is my son that is given. He's not a servant. And that is the point of Matthew 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And here's the key. What man is there among you who, if son asks for bread, will give him a stone? There's a little bit of a rumor there. If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? The point is, nobody does that. And then here's the key point. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Well, what the Lord said in this passage is very straightforward and makes the perfect sense. Few people may protest or say like this. "Pastor, I heard that story in Matthew 7, but here's the thing. I didn't grow up with a good father. I didn't have a good father when I was young. My father was a horrible person. So I wouldn't understand what it is like to have a good father. So this text doesn't really speak to me." Well, I can understand that. Because in this fallen world, because of our sin, Some children suffer from abusive parents. However, if you read this passage very carefully, that's exactly why Jesus is commanding us to ask our Heavenly Father. The reason why people say about, talk about the abusive father, or the reason why they say the abusive father is horrible, it's because they know. They know that it's not right. Everybody knows how a father is supposed to be generous and loving. And Jesus said in verse 11, if you then, being evil, there you go, being evil, or maybe you can replace that word with some other words like being. Some people are abusive. Some people don't know how to treat their children. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father will in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? The key word here is how much more? It's a rhetorical question. It's kind of a rhetorical question. Well, we make mistakes. But even with sin, even when we see in the news about abusive parents, we know in our hearts that normal parents are supposed to give good things to their children. Then how much more than our Father in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? And this leads to the second point. Our Father is just not Father, but our Father. And why is that? Well, Matthew 7 says, there's no earthly father who gives a snake when his child asks for a fish. I know it's ridiculous, but have you ever thought that what if the child asks something else? What if the child asks for a snake? Normally, they wouldn't do that. But sometimes, they do ask for silly things. For instance, what if a child who is allergic to a gluten or milk, he still keeps on asking for a cookie that is full of the things that he's not supposed to have. Then what do you do? That almost happened the last Monday in the church picnic. I gave a cookie to a child who's not able to have any gluten. I didn't know that about that. But thankfully the cookie was gluten-free. The point is, the real father would not grant him that cookie. But an imposter who pretends to be his father might give the cookie, but because he doesn't know about the child. That's where this word our comes in. Because he is our father, he knows what we need more than anyone does. The true father truly cares about his children, whereas the imposter doesn't really care. There's an excellent example in the Bible, 1 Kings chapter 3. There were two women came to Solomon. They came with the baby. They both claimed that the baby was hers. The king Solomon said, "Bring me a sword. Divide the baby into two, give half to one and give another, the other half to the other." And one woman said, "Oh Lord, give her the living child. By no means kill him. The other woman said, "Well, let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him." Then King Solomon knew right away who the true mother was. Because the true mother cares about her child, because the child belongs to her. Now the thing is, how much more our Father in heaven would care about us who belong to Him. Again, the key word in Matthew 7 is how much more. Earthly Father knows how to give good things to children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good things? However, when it comes to this key word, how much more, there is another passage that uses the same expression. That is in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. And I'd like to invite you to open your Bible to see Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. Hebrews 12, chapter 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we pay them respect, shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? There it is, in verse 9. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits? Well, according to Hebrews 12, human fathers who love their children, they do discipline their children. Without discipline, Hebrews 12 says, you're not sons. You're illegitimate sons. Then shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirit and live? Do you see how Hebrews 12 uses this word, how much more? Well, calling God as our Father means we submit to His authority and wisdom. Catechism teaches in Lord's Day 45, we ask all things necessary, not for our body and soul, but for our soul and body. The reason why Catechism replaced the word soul before the body is because to let us know that we need to ask first of His kingdom and to submit to His will. Indeed, God will certainly hear our prayers, but when we ask for instance, for a snake instead of bread, when we ask for a stone instead of the bread, then God will answer our prayers not in a way that we want to be. So when we say, our Father, it implies that we acknowledge that the Father knows better than I do. It is a confession of faith that our Father should make the call and not me. Brothers and sisters, there's another reason why Christ commanded us to use the word our Father, not something else. Well, notice that it's not my Father, or your Father, his or her Father, but our Father. The word our means there are more than one child of God. We already saw this language in Sumer in Lord's Day 13. Why is it called God's only begotten Son? Since we also are children of God. There you go. We also are children of God. Because Christ alone is eternal, natural Son of God, but we are children of God by adoption through grace for Christ's sake. So why does God command us to say the word our instead of my? Because I'm not the only one that Christ saved. I'm not the only one who was adopted to God. And That means when we say our Father, God wants us to remember our brothers and sisters in our church. There are other believers in the world. So when we pray, when we address Him, our Father in heaven, then it is reasonable to pray for other believers in the world as well. That also means that God does not want us to have selfish prayers. A little girl might pray something like this: Our Father in heaven, You are our Father. Thank You for Mommy, thank You for Daddy, thank You for ice cream. But not for my sister, not for my brother. My brother took some ice cream yesterday. I don't like it. My sister takes my favorite toys. Can You destroy those toys so that she doesn't get to play with it? You see? It's contradicting. She's contradicting herself. She calls Him our Father, but her prayers is all about herself. Well, we should be careful of that. Therefore, let's pray for others. Well, even if you don't like them, pray for them. Also, pray that God will grant you the Christ-like mindset, washing others' feet, serving one another. This leads to the last point. Why our Father in heaven? Well, one thing that we need to understand correctly is how God became our Father. Well, actually, it's wrong to say He became our Father, because it's not Him became our Father. It is we who became His children. Well, in our case, a boy in our world, a boy grows up, he becomes a man. He gets married, and he becomes husband, and he has a child, or he adopts a child, and he becomes a father. That's how the process goes. Which means we are not born as a father. But God is different. He didn't become a father just like any other man. God always was and is, and He will forever remain as a Father, because He is eternal Father of the Son, Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3, Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why we address Him as our Father in heaven. Because He is not like any other earthly fathers or authorities. Of earthly fathers and earthly authorities, they make mistakes. I know I do. When a father becomes abusive, although he is biological father of the child may not consider him as his father. But God is not like that. God's fatherhood is simply part of His essence. He is good. That means His fatherhood is not something that is added into His existence. Also, this means His fatherhood is not something that can be taken away. Once God makes the commitment to be our Father, He sticks with it. He doesn't change His mind. As the Lord said in 1 Samuel chapter 15, the strength of Israel will not lie or relent, for He is not a man that He should relent. And this gives us a tremendous amount of comfort. Because this truth brings a most remarkable stability and security. Think about it. Almighty, benevolent God is our Father in heaven. Therefore, we confess His changeless attributes, His faithfulness by saying, Our Father in heaven. Because heaven is where all the good things are. There's no corruption. There are no thorns or thistles in heaven. And Jesus said, lay up for yourselves a treasure in heaven. There neither moth or rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Which means there are no moth or rust in heaven. There are no bad things in heaven. We know that, and we use the word heaven to describe something better, describe something perfect. Also, we use the word heaven, a place where we want to go. Whereas on this earth, there's sin, misery, tribulations, corruptions, all sorts of troubles. Well, Psalm 103, verse 19 says, the Lord has established His throne in heaven. Isaiah 66, verse 1 says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. So Father in heaven means He controls from heaven. He controls both heaven and earth and everything in this universe. We use the heaven, the word heaven, to describe the Father who is perfect, who made the heaven that is perfect. So, how does this word, heaven, impact on our prayers or our attitude when we pray? How is it supposed to influence our content of prayers? The answer is in Luke 18. We just read from Luke 18. There was a judge, an earthly judge, who didn't fear God. It's kind of funny because he knew himself, well, I don't fear God. Which also means that he doesn't care, he didn't care about justice. But a widow kept on coming, telling him, get justice for me. Get my adversary. And this judge said, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow is troublesome, I will avenge her. Otherwise, she will continue to bother me. Well, here again, the key word that we saw from first point and the second point, that key word, how much more applies here in this text too. Well, in this verse, Jesus didn't really say that word, how much more, literally, but it is strongly implied. Well, in the ancient world, widows were often marginalized in the society. And of course, in the eyes of the judge, the widow was just nobody. He didn't have to listen to her. But when the widow continually bothered him, Jesus said, even this unjust judge listens to the widow. Then shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him? In other words, how much more God will listen to His own elect who cry out day and night? Brothers and sisters, in summary, we can say our God is not just an ordinary father. He certainly is not a dictator. Or He's not a blind watchmaker who doesn't care. But He is far much better than any other earthly fathers. He has compassion. He is more than able. Earthly fathers, even earthly fathers who are not perfect, they know what to give. Even the unjust judge listens to the widow who cried out constantly. But the question becomes, how much more our Heavenly Father be willing to give you good things? So therefore, ask, it will be given to you. Knock, it will be opened. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, we call you Abba Father, for your Spirit dwells in us, making us your sons and daughters through the works of your Son Jesus Christ. You are infinite, but we are finite. You are righteous, but we are sinful. We see that every day. Whenever our children do not listen to us, we sometimes run out of patience. We make many mistakes. Sometimes we see in the news about the bad parents, how children are hurt by broken families. But you, our Father, are not like them. You are constant. You never change. You are patient. You said you do not take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, but you want them to turn back to you. You want them to come back to the path of righteousness and life. Father, we want to be like you, patient, loving, and caring. Therefore, we pray that you would equip us with your wisdom and word so that we may be transformed. We pray that your Holy Spirit may dwell in us so that our heart may be changed. Also, when we go out into this world and face conflicts, help us to win with love, not with hate. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.